Welcome to Selah, a daily study in the Scriptures with Pastor Ray Viola. Many passages in Proverbs contrast righteousness and wickedness. Today's passage emphasizes the value of wisdom, integrity, diligence, and love, and warns against the pitfalls of folly, violence, laziness, and hatred. Please open your Bible to Proverbs 10, and listen as Pastor Ray Viola begins his study of this chapter.
Proverbs chapter 10. In this chapter, there's a little bit of a change. We're going to be seeing now from here through the end of the book, many contrasts that are made. Light, darkness, righteous, wicked, and so on and so forth. And in this chapter, about half of the verses contain a contrast between the righteous and the wicked, or the path of those who are on that path, that narrow path of Christ, and those who are on the broad path that leads to destruction. And I love the Proverbs because every one of these Proverbs could in and of themselves be a topical message. And so it begins with the Proverbs of Solomon. That's exactly how chapter 1 in this book began. In chapter 1, he gives us the purpose for the Proverbs, to give us instruction and wisdom and understanding. Now, here in chapter 10, each verse is a proverb, and in these Proverbs, many of the times, there is a contrast. How many of you are parents out there? All right. Well, verse 1. A wise son makes a glad father, but a foolish son is the heaviness of his mother. We've all been there. We have been the unwise son, haven't we? And you would say, I would say, we would concur that that is true. A wise son makes a glad father. A foolish son is the heaviness of his mother. And the fact that that rings true with so many of us having experienced that is just how a reminder of how true all of the Proverbs are. They just make sense. A wise son, one who fears God, obeys God. A foolish son, one who is insensible, insensitive to moral truth, doing their own thing. Wise son makes a glad father. A foolish son is the heaviness of his mother. Verse 2, treasures of wickedness or wealth gotten by ill gain or dishonesty, cheating, fraud, selling of drugs, whatever. It profits nothing. There is no profit in that. I think of Judas, who gained 30 pieces of silver. What did it profit him? I think of the man that is described in Luke chapter 12, verses 15 through 21. Jesus said, "Take heed, beware of covetousness, for a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesses." And he spoke a parable unto them, saying, "The ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully, and he thought within himself, saying, 'What shall I do? Because I have no room where to bestow my fruits.' And he said, 'This will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods, and I will say to my soul, soul, you have much goods laid up for many years. Take your ease. Eat, drink, and be merry.'" The philosophy of this world. "But God said unto him, 'You fool, this night your soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall those things be which thou hast provided? So is he that lays up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God." Those get-rich-quick schemes, they're always out there. There's always a way to make a quick buck illegally. It's common in our society. But it profits nothing. But notice, righteousness is what delivers from death. And what is the cause of death? Sin. The wages of sin, my sin, your sin, the sin of this world, which is the cause of all of the problems in this world. That's the cause, rebellion against God. Righteousness delivers from death. And of course, it's not hard to see in biblical New Testament terminology how Christ's imputed righteousness is the only thing that can deliver a soul from death and eternal damnation. Because we need to have his righteousness to be forgiven of our sin and to enter into the kingdom of God. Never worry about whether or not the stock market's going to crash, things like that. I mean, it's a genuine earthly concern. But notice the promise that we have in verse 3, beloved. The Lord will not allow the soul of the righteous to famish. He simply will not allow it. Now, that doesn't mean that if things get really, really bad economically, that we're going to be eating surf and turf or sushi every night. He just says, your soul is not going to famish. Remember what David said, the man after God's own heart, in Psalm 37, verse 25, I have been young and now I'm old. I can say that. When I was a younger pastor, I could say, I once was young and I'm still young. Now I'm on the other end of it. But it's true. Yet I have never seen the righteous forsaking, nor a seed begging bread. Jesus said in Matthew 6, 30 through 33, if God so clothed the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore, take no thought. The phrase take no thought means don't worry. Don't be anxious. Or if you're talking to your grandkids, you got to sometimes use, don't freak out. Get a grip. Saying, what are we going to eat? What are we going to drink? What are we going to wear? Notice, it says, for all these things do the Gentiles seek after, but your heavenly Father knows that you have need of all these things. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And how many things will be added unto you? And you know what he says here? I'll give you food. I'll give you clothing. We are the beneficiaries of all these things. You ate today, unless you were fasting. If you were, don't raise your hand. And you wore clothes. Right? Why? Because God clothes us. He takes care of us. He does, doesn't he? He always does. But he will cast away the substance of the wicked. And so we see righteousness and wickedness are often contrasted in the Bible. But there are times, like in Psalm 73, where it looks like the bad guys are getting all of the perks and you and I who are seeking after God are kind of like living hand to mouth. And the psalmist went into a tailspin until he went into the sanctuary of God, until he went to the Wednesday night Bible study. Maybe today we're thinking, boy, oh boy, how come my unsaved next-door neighbor seems to have no want? They're the ones driving the fanciest cars, going out to the fanciest restaurants. They got in the best clothes, and I'm wearing for Bible study tonight what I wore when I graduated from high school in 1966. Why is that? And then you go into the sanctuary of God, and you go, oh, God, I'm so blessed. You care for us. He does care for us. If you doubt that, any of you have a bird feeder? Any of you have a bird feeder? I love watching those bird feeders. Now, the thing of it is that God is so good, even squirrels eat off the bird feeders. He takes care of his creation. He really does. That's what the Lord says here. He says, I'm going to take care of you. You're never going to famish, but the substance of the wicked, it goes away. He becomes poor that deals with a slack or negligent hand, but the hand of the diligent maketh rich. If you and I are slack in our business, if we are slack in our responsibilities or duties, it tends towards poverty. Now, poverty in and of itself is not evil, unless it is due to one's laziness or the refusal to work. The hand of the diligent maketh rich. What does the Bible say? that the Lord is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. So there is that spiritual diligence that is rewarded with a greater intimacy with the Lord. But then there is this principle of just being diligent here on earth as stewards of the gifts and talents that God has given to us. The general law of God's moral government is industry and plenty go hand in hand. In Proverbs chapter 12, verse 24, it says, "The hand of the diligent shall bear rule, but the slothful shall be under tribute." You know those guys in high school that you used to mock? You called them a nerd because they studied hard and they worked hard. Then you graduated from high school, and you didn't call them a nerd, you called them your boss. Ecclesiastes 10:18 says, "By much slothfulness the building decays, and through idleness of the hands the house drops through." The importance of stewarding what God has given to us, whatever that may be. We are taught as Christians to be diligent in all that we do. We get this interesting contrast between laziness and diligence. J. Vernon McGee says there are two words that won't go together in the Bible, faith and laziness. 1 Corinthians 15:58 says, "Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast and movable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord." That's why we are exhorted. One of the reasons why we are exhorted to not be weary in well-doing, because you can get weary. You can get physically and emotionally tired. But the Lord is saying to you and I tonight, don't take your hand off the plow. Don't look back, my beloved brethren. Be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in what God has called you to do. Knowing this, you may not get all of the recognition or the kind of response that you anticipate here on earth, but when you get to heaven, that's when you want to hear, "Well done, you good and faithful servant." Be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Verse 5, "He that gathers in summer is a wise son, but he that sleeps in harvest is a son that causes shame." And so for the second time, wisdom is shown to include planning ahead. In Proverbs chapter 6, verse 8 says that the ant provides her meat in the summer and gathers her food in the harvest. In other words, taking advantage. If this is a season of plenty for you, then it's wise to plan ahead. The John MacArthur Study Bible has this note: "The timing necessary in agriculture can be applied to the general laying hold of life's opportunities." This is saying making hay while the sun shines. "He that gathers in summer is a wise son, but he that sleeps in the harvest is a son that causes shame or disgrace." Charles Spurgeon says, I love this quote, "Our idle days are Satan's busy days." In the Gospel of John, chapter 4, verse 35, Jesus said, "Say not ye, there are yet 4 months, and then cometh the harvest? Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest." And so spiritually speaking, you and I tonight, as born-again believers, born-again followers of Jesus Christ, I would think that with all of the craziness that's going on in the world, that would awaken us to give to the people who are looking for hope the gospel. Even the unsaved are thinking, we're not going to get help from the United Nations. We're not going to get help from the White House or from whatever government. They know. They know that. We have the answer. And we've all been commissioned. It's harvest time to go out and share the gospel. The Reformation Study Bible says, It is part of godly wisdom to redeem the time, to use it appropriately. To slumber during the harvest time is foolish. There is only so much time in life to accomplish the tasks that God has given to us. And we had one of the songs tonight. That was part of the lyrics. Let us be productive, taking advantage of every opportunity the Lord has given us to serve Him. How can you use your time better for the Lord? I've been guilty of saying this. And maybe you are too. Where did the time go? I've been told we should be able to say, this is where the time went. It just doesn't go. We do something with it. This is harvest time. John Corson wrote these words, quote, the last words to the space shuttle Challenger from Mission Control was, Challenger, full throttle. And the last words of the Challenger astronauts before their death was, Roger, full throttle. That's the way I want to live. That's the way I want to die. Full throttle for Jesus. You want to live full throttle for Jesus? You and I are going to have to prioritize our times. It's not the duration of your life that counts. There are godly men and women in the Bible and in church history who died very, very young. It's the devotion of your life, how intense you and I are serving the Lord, giving ourselves to Him. You see, every single person on this planet gets 24 hours a day. Nobody gets more time than you do. And so we have to govern and steward the time that God has given to us. Verse 6, blessings are upon the head of the just, but violence covers the mouth of the wicked. A lot of violence. A lot of violence coming out of the mouth of the wicked in the music industry. Hollywood industry. A lot of violence. Once again, the just or the righteous in comparison to the wicked are contrasted. The blessing of the just. It's beyond human value. The blessings that God gives to us. It's far more than money, right? To be able to have peace and joy. You can't buy that. You can't go to Walgreens or Wegmans Pharmacy and you go, next, please. Yes, what's your name? Raymond Viola. Yes, I have a, you have a prescription here? Yes, I would like 2 doses of joy. Well, I'm sorry, Mr. Viola. We don't make that here. You're right. You can give me something that will camouflage joy or peace, but the only place righteousness, peace, and joy comes from where? It comes from the Lord. What a blessing. You're righteous tonight in Christ Jesus. As we learned Sunday, if God only used perfect people, He would be, as Ricky Ricardo would say to Lucy, you got some splaining to do, Lucy, right? But He uses imperfect people, and He blesses imperfect people who just say, yes, Lord, You died for me, and I'm going to live for You. And that's the greatest blessing. Blessings are on the head of the just. Now, the just in the new one, the just one is the Lord Jesus. And we are the beneficiaries of what God has given to us through Him. So when you're counting your blessings, and it's a good thing to count your blessings, I've heard it said, if you only had today what you thank God for yesterday, what would you wake up with? Lord, thank you for my wife. I thank you for my son. I thank you for my daughter. I thank you for my son-in-law. I thank you for the grandkids. I thank you for this house. I thank you for this clothes. I thank you for the chariots you've given to us. I thank you for food. I thank you for electricity. I thank you for heat. I thank you for all of this stuff. I thank you for Major League Baseball season. Right? I thank you that I can go to the cupboard and I can get out some Chex Mix and all. I thank you, Lord, that I can do what I'm doing tonight. I thank you that I can go for a walk in the morning. I thank you that I'm relatively sane, no matter what you guys think about me. I am really sane. Just don't talk to Jack Slocum. He'll tell you something different. Blessings. We are so blessed. You realize that? Amen. We are blessed. We are blessed with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. That's where the real blessing is. The memory of the just is blessed. but the name of the wicked will rot. When a couple is having a child, if the son is born, you never say, why don't we just call him Judas Iscariot or Adolf Hitler Jr.? The name rots. The name of the just is blessed. I think of the name of Mary. Now, I think Protestants slam Mary. And it's not right to slam her because of how she is misrepresented biblically by the Catholics. Mary, in my opinion, was one of the godliest people in all of the Bible. And she is blessed. I wouldn't mind having Mary for my mom, right? I think of Daniel. I think of all of the heroes of faith in the Bible, all that they went through. What a blessing. You think, when you're thinking of naming your children, Joshua, Daniel, David, Solomon, Ezekiel, Ruth, and so on and so forth. Those are names that stick with you. But the name of the wicked will rot. The wise in heart will receive commandments, but a prating, or literally a babbling fool, will fall. The prating fool is the person who basically says, you know, I know it all. I know it. Leave me alone. Maybe sometimes you and I have been like that. Somebody comes up to you and they want to encourage you or instruct you, and you go, no, leave me alone. That's foolish. I know what I'm doing. Leave me alone. Yeah. How does that work out for you? It never does. If you are wise in heart, you'll take instructions. Now, how the instructions are given is important. I can't go up to Tony and go, Tony, I'm just saying, Tony, you knucklehead. How you approach someone is very important. Make sure that when you approach someone with instruction, you do it like Christ, not with a chip on your shoulder. A wise person will be teachable. A wise person is going to listen to what God commands, but a self-confident fool is going to ignore what God says. And usually their life is upside down. He that walks uprightly walks surely, but he that perverts his ways shall be known. In other words, when you're walking uprightly, God's got your back. Psalm 25, 21 says, let integrity and uprightness preserve me, for I wait on thee. Psalm 84, 11, for the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. If you and I are walking uprightly, God will not withhold a single good thing from you. But he that is perverse in his ways shall be known. In contrast with walking uprightly, if you are perverse in your ways, well, it says in the book of Numbers, be sure your sin will find you out. He that winks with the eye causes sorrow, but a prating fool shall fall. Proverbs 6:13. He winks with his eyes. He speaks with his feet. He teaches with his fingers. I actually had a colleague of mine whom I love and he loves me tell me that God was describing an Italian. I don't know why. You see, the reference to certain bodily gestures was very common in the Middle East. And let me read this. To avoid one's real motives from being detected, the deceiver would speak lies to someone while giving contrary gestures or signals that would indicate something else. Want to know the most hideous and classic example? Judas Iscariot giving Jesus a kiss in the garden. Be aware of that, of those who, there's people that are like, that's why this is in the Proverbs. They say one thing, but inwardly, there's mischief, there's ulterior motives. Bless the Lord, oh my
soul, bless his holy soul. Join us tomorrow at 6:30 p.m. as we complete this study on Selah, a daily study in the Scriptures with Pastor Ray Viola.
Worshiping with the saints on Sunday morning and hearing the Word of God preached from the pulpit is a wonderful thing. But if that's all you did, it would be hard to really feel connected to your church. Koinonia is named after a Greek word that is often translated as fellowship, but no single word can express its depth and richness. Koinonia means community, sharing life with one another, caring for each other as brothers and sisters in Christ. Our growth groups are small groups that meet throughout the month at church and in people's homes, where you can really get to know people, growing closer to the Lord and to each other. Check out all the groups on our website, koinoniafellowship.com.
Do you have a Bible question? Do you need to talk with someone or have someone pray with you? If you do, we invite you to visit our website at selaonradio.com and click on the live chat button. We'd love to hear from you. Audio and video downloads of all Pastor Ray's teachings can be accessed at koinoniafellowship.com. You can subscribe to Pastor Ray's blog at selaonradio.com and receive a daily devotional by email. We welcome you to join us for Sunday morning and Wednesday evening services at Koinonia Fellowship. Our address is 500 Main Street, East Rochester, New York. Service times are 8:30 and 10:30 Sunday morning and 7 p.m. on Wednesday. This program has been brought to you by Koinonia Fellowship.